and satisfaction for those, for the ones He's redeemed, for the redeemed. Psalm 108 we read this morning, wake up and praise the Lord. Psalm 109, it's another one of them imprecatory psalms that crying out for God to avenge or to judge them. Psalm 110 is an interesting psalm, and it's important or significant in that it's mentioned so often in the New Testament. Short psalm, and yet, you know, Jesus talks about it, and it's mentioned in Hebrews. It's in the book of Acts. It talks about the Messiah and the role of the Messiah, Jesus, as the king priest. Psalm 110, verse 1, you know, Jesus silenced the Pharisees with this scripture. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Jesus told the Pharisees, now, if David by the Spirit, you know, called his offspring Lord, who is he? You know, Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. You don't call, you know, he was using the illustration that you don't refer, you know, the elders are the ones that are looked up to and respected. Why would he call someone of his descendants? But it was because of who he is. He's Jesus, Son of God. That's why. As the Pharisees didn't talk to him, they couldn't answer him. Psalm 110 also refers to Jesus' future reign as king, verse 2. Verse 4, two of the three books that mention Melchizedek, a reference to Melchizedek, the high priest who came to Abraham. And Abraham sought his blessing and tithe to him before the law. And in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being, you know, anointed the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, a higher order outside the law, before the law, transcending the law. He's our high priest, you know, regardless and forever. He's the one that stands between us and God, and the one who met the demands that God requires from man. Jesus, our high priest, spoken of in Psalm 110, 111. Praise for God's wonderful works, His tender care. Psalm 112, blessings for those who fear God. And then Psalm 113, look in verse 2 and 3. It's blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. Forever He will be praised. We take part in time right now, praise the Lord, but it'll go on through eternity. This morning we're going to look a little closer and briefly at Psalm 107, if you turn back. Psalm 107 is a psalm about giving thanks to the Lord. Look in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Then through the psalm, mentioned four times over, is this like an inference that God is so good. Oh, won't you give Him thanks? Following like four sets of, you know, states or conditions or things that are kind of like relatable to us, circumstances that we go through, trials, problems, situations. Looking to Him and how He's moved and answered us. Oh, the inference. Oh, won't you give thanks to the Lord? For He is good. His goodness. For His goodness. Yeah, four times mentioned is this in 107:8. Notice, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Again repeated in verse 21 and 31. But every inference, you know, to draw a response, oh, won't you give thanks to the Lord? For he's good. Follows really a set of circumstances or a state or a condition where God moves and answers. How he's, we can relate to him, you know, and how he's moved and answered to, you know, in our lives, his intervention. And then to draw a response, to give him thanks. The first state or condition. Oh, by the way, Merry Christmas. This is kind of a goofy year. You know, we're in between Christmas. We're not going to have a Christmas message, but I'd just like to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Verse 4 begins, really talks about the first circumstance. You know, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted. And, you know, literally talking about the children of Israel wandering aimlessly through the wilderness. And would speak of, you know, those that have no direction. Without direction. Seeking direction. Needing direction. You know, speaking of them, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're wandering, they're seeking direction. Well, God gives direction. In verse 7, note, following their condition of wandering, verse 7 says, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. He leads. He grants direction. When we're without direction, we seek his intervention. We seek his leadership. We need to seek his leadership. I turn to him. I look to him. I need direction. Lord, give me direction. He leads us in the right way. We turn to him. We seek him. Well, speaking of this wandering, the group in the wilderness, and then answering their, you know, condition or state, a position of need. He led them in the right way. They arrived at the city and their destination from point A to point B. Where we're at. Lord, where are we supposed to go? We need direction. Lead us. As they called out, he answered. The Bible tells us that he leads us. He leads us beside the still water. You know, he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us the right way, not the wrong way. Never the wrong way. We go the wrong way sometimes, often, but he never leads us in the wrong way. I look back. I think of God's leadership and giving us direction. God's hand. I remember when Roseanne and I first got married. We had a, you know, we wanted to get out of Michigan. As soon as we get married, saved up the money, we didn't want to live in Michigan. So we decided we're going to either move to Florida, Texas, or California because of their climates. And who wants to live in Michigan or the Himalayas as it is today? And I remember we had a party. We were in a bar. This was back in the old days. And we had a Florida or California. We already ruled out Texas. We went down, there's no way I want to move in Texas. But we didn't know, you know, and we were really open. We look back and we know that God led us to California. You know, and we had family in Florida. I mean, it would make sense to go to Florida. But in truth, it was his leading. You know, you look back at his guiding, his leading, his hand, his provision, his faithfulness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. See, the drawing the response. Lord, you did lead us. That was you. You know, he led us. And in many ways, he led us. Then in many ways, I led me. And I made many mistakes. You know, I got into a business one time, and he gave me a check. And I overrolled the check, you know, because I had some kind of hurt from a past problem. And I'm going to do this no matter what. That can't be God. But I knew he was giving me a check. Went belly up, problems. My way, going my direction. But he's always been good. He always led us and me in the right way. God's good. You know, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his leadership when we need direction. The Bible tells us, you know, that all things work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, his providence. We look back. He's faithful. He's worthy of us giving him thanks. The inference, to draw a response. The next set, we've seen beginning in verse 8. Well, no. Following the first set of circumstances, look in verse 8. It's the conclusion. All right? Well, you need direction? Look to him for direction. The conclusion of the matter is, oh, give thanks to the Lord. He's faithful in giving direction. The next set of circumstances, beginning in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, talks about those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. The next condition speak of those enslaved, in bondage, imprisoned, in rebellion. Those that are in darkness. Again, this next group or condition, the Bible tells us that God frees us from. Look in verse 14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. He frees us from bondage. Again, you know, I can look back, I can relate to these. You know, in darkness, in my past, the direction I was heading, how God intervened, delivered, freed, spared, let me out of prison. The prison I was heading in, hellbound. And God's faithful and worthy of thanks. Again, the conclusion, you know, delivers from darkness, turns the lights on. You know, the conclusion of verse 15. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, deliverance, freedom. You know, he brings us out of prison. You think of Peter, when he was in prison. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake and, you know, he was woken up. He thought he was still in a dream. And then the gate of the prison just opened on its own accord. He didn't have nothing to do with the opening of that gate. It opened up. He lets us out. He frees us. You know, the relation or in truth, how we're free in him. You know, how he sets us free from bondage of sin. It's in Jesus that we have our freedom. He releases us in our chains or our bondage or our sin. Being in him, being in Christ is our freedom. It remains the truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. His mercy is made new every morning, the Bible tells us. You know, but the deliverance and the freedom granted. The conclusion, verse 15. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He's delivered us. He's freed us. Granted us release. The next set of conditions or circumstances, look in verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities were afflicted. Foolish behavior. And the afflictions, that actually means like trials. And foolishness, like being a spoiled brat, is really what a fool can mean and be. And the afflictions and trials, literally talking about when they were in the wilderness and, you know, they're complaining about the manna. You know, I don't really care for this manna again today. Well, God has given, being dissatisfied with, complaining, spoiled brat. I can relate to that. I look at myself, I'm a work in progress. I'm not going to give you any specific examples, but I know me. and my, you know, stubborn, selfish manner. But foolishness he delivers from. Notice how in verse 20. I love this verse. He sent his word and healed them, delivered them from their destructions. You know, foolish behavior, self-centered ways, you know, bent on expectation, your own selfish expectation. It's got to be this way. Making demands. And God granted them, you know, the meat, the flesh, till it was coming out of their ears, the Bible says. How he answers through his word, brings healing, brings change, answers foolishness behavior. You know, the answer to spoiled brat behavior. The conclusion of the matter, verse 21. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's worthy to be thanked. He's worthy. He's so good, delivering us, freeing us, granting us direction, teaching us the truth about ourselves through the Scripture. The next set of circumstances given is an illustration of some sailors, merchants, going out to do business, caught in a storm. The winds kick up. The Bible tells us in verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea that mount up to the heavens. They go down again in depths. Their souls melt because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Caught in a storm beyond your control. Another circumstance given, condition. Being on a boat, you know, just at work. Just going to work today. Caught into a storm where hurricane-type gale force winds throwing your vessel around. You can't control. You're at your wit's end. You don't have an answer. You're at a place that you can't change your circumstances beyond your control. Again, another circumstance where God moves. He answers. He delivers. In verse 29 and verse 30, the Bible tells us he calms the storm so that the waves are still. He brings peace. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven. He brings guidance through storms. Answers. Conclusion. Verse 31. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. God's faithful in answering our needs. There's an interesting principle, you know, repeated in the Bible over and over again. The principle of crying out. What's in between these conditions of trials and the problematic conditions? They found themselves in needing of guidance, in needing of intervention of God's help when they're in a trial and their foolish behavior over and over again. In between each condition and God's response was them crying out. They cried out to the Lord, the Bible tells us in verse 6, 13, 19, 28. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distress. Then the answer came in the condition, in the problem, in the storm, in need of help, in need of answers, in need of guidance, in need of direction. Cry out to the Lord. The principle of crying out. God humbles us and breaks us to the point where we cry out. And if we don't, you know, recognize our need for him, we will. He'll bring us to the point through one circumstance or another to recognize our need and to call out to Him. And He'll move and He intervenes. God is faithful and He can turn any situation around. The remainder of the chapter, 33 to 42, talks about how He can take a wilderness and turn it into a well-watered spring. He can take a river and turn it into a barren wilderness. Opposites, how He can turn things around. Over and over again, He takes a king and abases him down to a pauper. He can take a pauper, a servant, and raise him up and exalt him. He can change things. God can move. He answers. He intervenes. He has the power. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. The inference of our need and recognition who God is, in control of everything. The conclusion of the whole psalm is found in verse 43. Notice, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. Whoever is wise not only sees these things, observes them, you know, through an observation vantage point, but keeps them, understands God's loving kindness, taps into, looks to, recognize my own dependency. I need to recognize my own need for Him. In all these things, I need direction. And if I make a move and go in the wrong direction, you know how far off course you get by just taking one step off course through time? I need His guidance, His direction, His intervention, wisdom, oversight, provision, care. If you are wise, you will observe these things, and you will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. He's in control. And notice, you know, over and over the psalm, really the intent of the psalm is just to draw a response. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. You know, from your heart. It's one thing, you know, just talking, hey, God's good all the time. But it's another to know it from your heart. And, you know, the inference is to draw that response from our heart. Lord, help us. Let's stand. Let's give Him thanks. Lord, we do look to You. We thank You for Your word. You sent forth Your word and it healed them and it heals us. And Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful works and all the ways You've intervened and guided us, led us in the right way, the right path, protected us from drifting in the wrong path. Lord, we thank You that You've opened our eyes, set us free, released us from prison, broken the chains, turned the lights on. For You are good, Lord, and Your wonderful works, we thank You and praise You. Lord, do help us, cause us to realize, Lord, from our heart, the truth of our dependency on You and our need for You. We look to You. We thank You for Your word. We ask, Lord, that You plant it in our hearts and it would bear fruit, Lord. Change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now may the Lord be with you. Grant us wisdom to observe these things and to understand His loving kindness. For it's good to understand, realize, to give Him thanks from our heart in truth for who He is, what He's done. In Jesus' name, amen.